Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to the Dom and Colin podcast. I'm Colin, and I'm here with Dom. Dom, how are you today?
I'm very well, and we are joined by a special guest. We've seen him before. It is Survivor South Pacific's Albert Estrade. Albert, how are you doing?
Doing very well, gentlemen. Glad to be back on.
Very glad to have you. Today, what we're going to be doing is going over, basically, with Albert, most of Survivor's One World. You know, we talked to him a little bit about it last time we had him on. For those of you who don't even know, Albert came on once before where we went through all of his own game in South Pacific. If you want to check that out, it's up in the blog archives and up on iTunes still. That was a very popular episode. And so that's why, Albert, we're very happy to have you back. We know you have a bit of a time restriction. We know we only have a little bit over an hour today. So I think with that, are you, ready to get right into it? Actually, you know what? Before we get into Survivor, let's find out what have you been up to since last time we spoke?
Mainly a lot of baseball, man. Finished up our season a couple weeks ago. Our team did really well. Advanced the playoffs, man. Fell just short of a championship, but it was a great season for us, man. I was pretty fortunate enough to get I got voted district coach of the year for my district, which is weird because I normally don't do well in things that require votes. somehow I pulled off enough votes to win that. It was a good year for us, and I got a couple other little projects here on the horizon for the summer that I'm excited about.
Excellent. Any dating coaching going on?
No dating coaching. Haven't done that in a little bit, man. My roommate keeps trying to get me back in. He does a lot of business with it, but I'm kind of steering clear of that path just for the time being.
You haven't been tutoring Cochran or so?
No, not that, man. Well, we talk a little bit, and I give him some tips here and there just about stuff. But Cochran and I actually talk pretty regularly, so we get into all sorts of things. But he does okay, man. People don't realize, man. He's got some charm, man, at the end of the day.
Ooh, there you go. I'm sure that's inside scoop there. Not bad, Cochran. So what do you guys say we get into talking some Survivor?
Let's do it.
All right, so I think the way we're going to do this is basically just very broadly, just because of the time thing, looking over it, just kind of the general each game in kind of sections, I guess, in terms of pre-merge, and then the swap, merge, and then post-merge. And Albert, one thing, and I'm going to get this out, I'm going to set this up kind of quickly, and set this up early, really, because this may come across as kind of weird. There are going to be a couple situations where I'm going to ask you about what you may be doing in certain different people's positions. And one of the ones that I think is going to come up frequently is Jay. And I think the reason for that is I think Jay is someone who is, first of all, had several interesting spots that I very much want to hear how you would have played if you were in them, but also is kind of viewed on the same level as a physical threat. But I'm curious to see what someone with a tactical mind like yours, as opposed to Jay's, would have done there. So if you kind of understand what I'm saying there, I think we are good to get going, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. It's funny, when I watch a show at home, that's pretty much the only way that I watch a show is I put myself in each person's position and try to figure out, you know, how would I play from that. So this is beautiful. I love it. Let's do it.
Excellent. And obviously the place I think we want to start there is with the One World twist itself. And, you know, it's of course being split men versus women in the beginning. What did you think about that twist? And then I think in terms of starting with one of the tribes, let's talk about the men's tribe first, because that's probably imagining yourself on a tribe is probably easier on the men's tribe.
Yeah, certainly. And I'll be honest with you, one of my pregame favorites, Matt Quinlan, who was, you know, one of the earliest boots. To me, I thought they had a lot of the makings of what, you know, could have been a very successful alliance. It just really baffles me that they failed to not create a majority alliance and let that, you know, what was early on was referred to as the Misfit Alliance kind of come to fruition. One of the biggest things, you know, we talked about it last time I was on, you know, the big thing is you have to create a majority alliance early on, not just an alliance, a majority alliance. You know, numbers are everything in Survivor. And when you want to come out and play as aggressively as Matt was attempting to play, you can't do that and only have, you know, four solid numbers with you. Realistically, I think that was the biggest error, and then the whole kind of misshaping of the tribe happened when you know the fraction happened. They vote off their stronger players, you know, they let Colton kind of take reign of the tribe, and I think the men continuously as the season progressed, each and every single guy shot himself in the foot at some point in the game. It was incredible. I don't know if they went out of their way to cast guys that weren't going to do very well, but it was incredible the number of mistakes that just guys on the men's side were doing, and it ended up costing them. I'm not surprised we're down to an all female final five.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Just to kind of hear. Dumb. I can't see anything you're typing on the Skype thing. I need. Oh, okay. Sorry, Alba. We're having a bit of a technical thing. Okay. We just can't see what the other person's talking, so we have no idea where we're going from place to place.
We'll manage that. We should be all right.
Yeah, sorry, Dom, you want to ask him something as I read this email you just sent me?
It's pretty much the same what you just said to me, but anyway. Yeah, so we see, like, as you said, we see Matt Quillen get voted out early, which I agree with the disappointment, because he seemed like one of the people who was actually really looking to play the game this season, especially, you know, after we've seen what happened post-merge, where it seems to be Kim and a bunch of people who just are there for the adventure, really. And then what we see happen is Colton really takes control of the men's tribe, and then going into a tribe swap, things get shuffled around, but not really too much. The power, like, the dynamics of both tribes are pretty much the same as they were before. What do you make of Colton's game? I mean, it's, I know a lot of, there's a lot of controversy about what he said and stuff, but I think that kind of resulted in his gameplay being overshadowed a bit.
I think his gameplay, if you looked at it to its core, I like where he's coming from the aspect of wanting to be in control and having an idea how to manipulate people. He is, you know, the comparisons to Russell Hance, which, you know, have been floating around, are accurate to an extent. He has a good way to manipulate people. I just think he was a little bit too much of, you know, a kid in a candy store. And I think he just kind of was a little bit too pleased with himself. And just kind of was a little too heavy-handed early on. He could have played a very similar game, but just not as abrasive and just not as over the top. And, you know, I know he got, you know, medically evacuated, and that's why he left the game. But I'm telling you, if he kept on that in that style of gameplay, he was not gonna win the season. He might have gone far. He might have done well and made some good television, but he wasn't gonna win the season. They weren't gonna give him $1 million because he just. Was just, again, I think, you know, socially, sometimes it's a little bit better of a strategy to be less in control early on in the game, make other people feel like they have more of a say. Don't just be this leader who kind of moves people or motivates people through fear or through things like an idol. I think just those things right there, they're a recipe for disaster. So, you know, although I respect the fact that he understood the game, I think if you look at the entire cast, he's probably top three, maybe four, of, you know, in terms of people who understand what it takes to be successful in Survivor. That being said, I still think that, you know, he made some costly mistakes and did some things that were a little ill-advised, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, sorry, Dom.
Yeah, do you think the map boot was actually correct for all the people who participated in it? Because it seemed like there was an option for someone like Troyzan maybe to go with Matt and Mike and Jay and Bill instead of Colton and the other Misfits. Do you think that maybe was a better option for him, given what we know now?
Yeah, that it's pretty incredible to me that Matt didn't reach out to a guy like Troyzan, who obviously wants to be a leader too, and, you know, didn't reach out to him until it's too late and say, hey, you know, you're the whole, you know, famous rooster scene where it's you're a rooster, I'm a rooster. That doesn't need to happen, you know, the day he gets eliminated. It needs to happen on day one, man. Like, he needs to come up to him and get with him. And realistically, I think Troyzan felt excluded from those younger guys, you know, the Jay, Mike, Matt group, and was kind of, in his mind, justified voting out Matt because he felt threatened by him. And Colton, to his credit, played that part of the game really well when he turned Troyzan against Matt. And realistically, you know, there was a lot of people on this season who were willing to take everything that they were told at face value, which makes it really easy to play Survivor when people just, you know, somebody says, hey, this person's gunning for you, and you say, oh, really? I'm going to vote him out.
Yeah, you would have crushed.
Yeah, it makes it all. Exactly. An angle shooter like me would have done amazing on that season. Yeah, because people aren't checking notes, and people, you know, like Ken, for example, in this most recent episode, talked about how she's playing both sides and that's dangerous. You know, that was kind of my game plan, is always play both sides and always kind of hedge your bets. And realistically, it worked out for her just because, you know, the field she's playing against, they're not really willing, you know, to question that. It's kind of like playing poker against somebody who they're going to call your raise, and every time they check and you continuation bet, they're just going to fold. Just like, it's a beautiful thing. They're going to believe me every time. Let's keep it happening. I mean, it's just, it makes it for pretty easy gameplay for anybody who has any kind of aggressive style whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of aggressive styles, Colton, I think, is someone like that, where we see his decision to ultimately somehow convince the entire tribe to go to tribal council. Now, I imagine that this is something, or actually, you know, I don't even want to presume anything. If you're out on that tribe, how do you handle that situation if, say, you're Jay and Colton approaches you?
That's so brutal. On a one-on-one scale, you know, my mentality is always, or not always, but more often than not, kind of, you know, don't create a conflict about it. If somebody's really hell-bent on something, be like, well, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of a crazy move, but, you know, let's just talk to the other guys about it. And then when you get in front of everybody and you're doing the roundtable discussion in front of everyone, that's when you can actually let your real opinion come to light and be like, listen, gentlemen, I think we need to be more, you know, level-headed about this. You know, let's just get a little bit bigger of a numbers edge before we do anything like this, you know, because, and then ultimately you have to instill it's us versus them. If you're pre-emergent survivor, everyone in your tribe has to understand it's us versus them. We're good guys, they're bad guys. And if there's anything that's dissenting from that, it's going to create disaster for your tribe, just plain and simple. So, you know, I never in a million years would I ever agree to going to tribal. It's incredible how that whole, you know, scene of events or sequence of events played out. You know, I would have done my best to try to get everybody back to even and just say, listen, let's just calm our heads down here. Let's not make a rash decision and let's vote a girl out. You know, let's let the girls go and vote one of them out. And it just ended up costing them. And that move and some other moves really ended up costing the men in a big way.
Yeah, that move actually wasn't even to get them back to even. If they had just held on to that immunity, they would have been up 2 on the women.
Yeah, right, correct.
Yeah, so I guess another question, to kind of wrap up on Colton, say again, once again, presume you're in Jay's position where you're he apparently was on very good terms with Colton in terms of they were working together, and when Colton was medevaced, Colton wanted to give Jay the idol, and I think it's safe to assume that you, very early in the game, but at least have a very good relationship with most people on your tribe, just trying to be affable and whatnot. So how would you deal with someone like Colton, someone that aggressive, were you in Jay's position on that tribe? Someone just so clearly trying to run the show.
Well, from Jay's perspective, having a player like Colton is awesome. It's actually pretty interesting because Jay, Colton, and myself, all three of us were at the same casting, the same finals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I saw him, I saw Jay, I saw Colton. We were all there in the same, like, place at the same time, all casting for the season I ended up being on. And so it's interesting because a lot of times when I was watching, I was like, man, I was really close to being on the island with Colton. And from Jay's perspective, having a player like him is awesome. It's amazing. It's your dream. It's kind of like what I had with Coach, which is you have this really vocal, over-the-top guy who doesn't mind having a target on their back. And then if you know how to just, you know, manipulate them the right way and get in their ear in the right way and be subtle about it, it can be a dream for you. Because all you have to let them know is that I'm with you, buddy. It's me and you, man. You know, whatever you want to do, let's do it. And then you can just kind of, you know, play with their mind a little bit, their decision making, let them feel like they're calling the shots, even if it's a CD playing in their ear. And a player like Colton, for Jay, that would have been brutal because I don't think Colton ever would have seen him coming. Cause he just, you know, Jay's this Southern guy who just comes off really genuine and really nice. And he could have done a lot with, I think letting Colton run it if, you know, obviously things don't play out the way they did with the medevac.
Yeah. How do you think things would have played out differently if Colton hadn't been medevaced?
Realistically, you know, things got really dicey. I think the swap that happened, that tribe ended up with the less physical players. I think they were in trouble anyhow. And I think Colton, once they merged the tribes after the swap, I think the girls, especially players like Kim and Sabrina, would have been wise to him. I think somebody would have slipped information that this guy Colton's been running the show for the guys and been kind of just been a really, really, maniacal figure. I don't think he would have gone too far because they just didn't have the physical strength to have a numbers edge at the merge. And I think they would have just, you know, inevitably a player like him would have just been picked off because, you know, I think players with high levels of awareness like Kim and Sabrina would have been just said, this guy's going to be poison if we let him hang around here and get inside some of the heads of our followers.
So yeah, I think that, sorry, go ahead, Don. Yeah,
so do you think somebody like Jonas, who seemed to be in a leadership position among the guys, was just doomed from the outset then?
I don't think Jonas was doomed from the outset at all. A lot of people picked Jonas to win. I thought Jonas, early on, I had pretty high hopes. Out of all the men that were remaining, I thought he was at least one of the more aware ones. He was kind of, you saw in some of his confessionals him saying, you know, Colton, he's got his way with people, and he seemed like he was okay with letting Colton take the lead. He wasn't trying to battle Colton. So realistically, I don't think, you know, even though Jonas doesn't seem like the type of profile, the type of person who could win the season, very kind of a complacent player, not an aggressive player, not a physical player. I think Colton could have been a floater who made it, Jonas. Jonas could have been a floater who made it pretty deep into the game. His boot was actually one of the more surprising ones. It just didn't really make much sense, the reasoning behind booting Jonas when they did. I thought they could have let him go a little bit deeper, knowing he's really not the kind of guy who's ever a threat post-merge.
What did you make of what happened when we got to the merge then? So we see Jonas get booted, like you said. Obviously, that's not too surprising if from the women's perspective. What do you make of the decision by Jay and Troy to go along with it, though?
I thought they were very, very poor decisions. Ultimately, what makes the game this season more a little bit more unstable and a little less, I'd say, you know, straightforward and easy to break down from the way I like to play Survivor is the swap. You know, I'm not really sure what level of security or comfort or whatever you want to call it Jay and Troyzan got when they were with Kim and the girls for a little bit on that swap tribe. But apparently it was a lot because they really invested in them and they really felt like they were much closer with those girls. So, you know, it's hard for me to call them foolish and say, Troy, what are you doing for listening to these girls? If I was in their shoes, I probably wouldn't have, just because, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out Kim and Sabrina are a lot smarter and more rational than some of these other guy players that they could have, you know, stayed with, and they're more aggressive. You just see the way they go about having interactions. They're always planning. They're always looking around. They're always thinking big picture. You know, I want to play post-merge with floaters. I want to play post-merge with people like Jonas and people like Tarzan and people like, you know, Mycese and Edna and stuff like that, because those people aren't ever going to make moves against you. So I don't want to play against the people who have an idea what they're doing. So realistically, if I'm in their shoes, despite whatever, you know, however strongly I felt that they liked me or that, you know, we got along and we were on the same tribe, I probably wouldn't have sided with Kim and these girls. I would have stuck with, the Leafs. I mean, when did you ever see Leaf or Jonas or Tarzan ever at any point in the season, you know, come up with any kind of plan or any kind of idea? They probably didn't. So those are the kind of people I want to play with post-merge. They're just going to float, follow, and never come after me.
That's right. Now, Troyzan's offense was that someone like Mike, for instance, were never going to team back up with the guys because he had been too enraptured by Kim, as we thought Jay and Troy were. So, and the same thing as Christina. So even if he had tried to get all of the men together, it probably wouldn't have worked. It seems like, though, given that he found the idol, sure, you don't really want to burn it that early, but it seems like you kind of have to. And if you do, and you do manage to knock out a player like Kim, the reward is potentially very high.
Right, right. So your question is, should Troyzan have tried to pull Mike back in?
Well, what I was thinking was, like, Troyzan has to know that if the women do sort of reform later, as indeed did happen, then right, the idol's probably not going to help him that much, because eventually they're going to reach a point where they can split the votes and it's really not going to end up saving him at all. If he tries to make a power play out the merge by maybe using the idol on Jonas once he knows that he's a target, trying to rally votes against someone like Kim or Sabrina, he might actually have a chance of forming, like, a new majority alliance and actually being in a good position going forward instead of, like, just having to hope that no one targets him.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. He's taking a leap of faith there. You're going into that merge, six guys, six girls. If he knows Jonas is their target, and, I mean, again, he's got to stick to his read. If his read is that really, realistically, that, you know, the girls are with him, I understand his play. But, you know, there's a very good argument to be made, I agree with that, about him playing an idol for Jonas to kind of reveal the girls' motives, because now he keeps Jonas. Worst-case scenario, he has six. My bigger question marks, really, are guys like Tarzan and Leaf, who were part of that misfit alliance with Colton that was on the other side of Jay and Mike and Matt. You know, that's where I think Troy needed to make his decision. Understand, is there a bridge between those two groups? Because that's, you know, that was that dividing line that split the guys in half. And if Troy could identify that line and figure out, do these guys not like each other, or do they just end up on different sides of the line? Because that, to me, is what the decision should be based on. You know, if Mike and Leaf, you know, don't have anything against one another, or, you know, Jay and Tarzan get along well, realistically, there's an argument to be made about, let's rebond as a group of guys and not put our faith in these girls. So that's what I would have been trying to make the decision based on. If I think I could generally get those groups together, then yeah, that's a beautiful play. Make the play for Jonas and try to pull, you know, a 6-on-5 and just run the game against the girls.
Yeah, so perhaps if Albert's out there getting cast on season 24 instead of Troy's in, things may go differently for the men. But as we ultimately end up seeing, the women end up taking control big time in a very big manner. And now we see, previewing ahead to this Sunday's finale, that they are all going to make up the final five. It's all women. So let's backtrack way back to the beginning again. And now let's talk about the women, because this is the group of players that we're all ultimately going to see making most of the decisions in this game. So let's go back even pre-merge, pre-swap, pre-everything. And let's talk about what you thought about the women right off the bat.
The women, I was early on, I was more impressed with them and their, the way that they came together. They seemed a lot more, functional as opposed to the dysfunctionality that was going on with the male tribe. You see early on as they're walking into camp, I forget which groups, but it was like Alicia, Kim, Kat, I think Sabrina was in it too, and Chelsea. They're already like, yeah, this is our five. Like, they're already like talking about groups of five, which is how you play Survivor. And yeah, I thought that they, you know, to their credit, they played, you know, at each and every step, they played a better game, you know, just in terms of from a strategic standpoint. The one thing I've been surprised is how overtly, Kim's, you know, been kind of in that position of leadership without anybody really questioning it. And we'll probably get into that later. We're trying to stay chronological here. But early on in the game, I thought the girls did a great job. There was very little arguing within themselves. The arguing always happened against the men. There wasn't that much dissension. Christina was really the only quote unquote unliked girl in the group, and she's still not very, opinionated. So I think the group that they had, the draw that they got was pretty beneficial for them. They didn't have really any, you know, any type of personalities like the men had. The men had some people that are hard to deal with. They had, you know, these Coltons and these Tarzans and these Troyzans and these people with egos and attitudes. The girls didn't have to deal with that. They had a lot of follower bees, which is what you want in Survivor. It works out well for them. So, you know, I'm not surprised. If you would ask me this question 2 months ago, I still would have told you I think the females are going to run the game, just because I could see the writing on the wall that the men's tribe is just very, very dysfunctional.
That's actually a point I haven't heard made too often about just the personality types within the female tribe. We're much more subdued is the wrong word, but they're more manageable, I think, in terms of if you're the power player of the season, and we're about to get into Kim, who I would certainly call the power player of this season. They're very a very manageable bunch. Obviously, the exception there being Alicia. Sorry, I feel like I have a stutter today for some reason. Anyway, the exception there being Alicia, but even she seems to have Alicia under control. So let's talk about Kim, I guess. Where Kim clearly is a thinking player, much like yourself, and she's sitting back very early in the game and now trying to figure out how she's going to be taking control of this tribe. And you mentioned just even the walk to camp, they have a very early start in terms of setting up their five-way alliance. But if you're Kim now at the women's tribe and it's early in the game, you know, can you give us some of your Survivor experience and wisdom and let us know how you would try to take control of that situation?
Every single, almost without exception, every single interaction that I've seen Kim have this season is like, it leaves me like just shaking my head with a smile, like, wow, she must have talked to my buddy Corey before the game, and like some kind of coaching, because she does everything exactly how you want to do it from a textbook standpoint in terms of, you know, she doesn't say, well, this person's out, we got to get rid of him. You know, there's nothing heavy-handed about the way she does it. She makes everyone feel like they're part of the decision. She says, you know, well, what do you think about this? She throws out feelers. She gets information and doesn't give information, which is the best. People always come to her and say, well, I heard this, and she just knows how to just kind of get as much out of them with giving the least amount out. I mean, she's played a really phenomenal game, very, very similar to, you know, what we've seen from some of the better winners of all time, and some of the better people that didn't get any votes in the final three. yeah, but she, you know, all joking aside, man, I was very impressed with her, and she's really good at being able to be a leader without ever being questioned. She reminded me a lot of kind of JT. She had that, you know, everyone JT on token chains. It was pretty obvious JT was the most liked guy in the season, the entire season, but no one ever really had any real notion to come get him or to come, you know, come after him or whatever. So, you know, she's playing shades of one of, if not the best game played in recent memory. So, you know, my caps went off through all season.
Yeah, going back to what you said about what happened after the swap on the Salani tribe, it's kind of scary to think that every single person on that tribe would have said that their closest ally was Kim. And that's a phenomenal achievement, especially since none of them seemed to realize that other people were feeling that way as well.
Right.
Yeah, and it's funny, they had that game with, they normally have, it was a reward challenge, I believe it was last week, where you have to cut the ropes and you have to, vote for somebody. And I think that was the question, like, who'd you want to be on an island with, or who do you trust the most? And almost everyone without exception said Kim, which, to me, that's a huge red flag if you're there. It's like, wait a second, every single person here wants to, supports Kim. Let's kind of open our eyes to this. She gets brought along in every reward. She wins a lot of these challenges. That's kind of that's actually the one thing I haven't liked about her gameplay. Clearly it's all down to women. So if it's just down to female players and she's clearly the best female player, she's a challenge dominator given the field that's remaining. If she's playing against a field full of Aussies or stuff like that, she might not dominate every challenge. I can see her trying her hardest. But against this field, she's going to crush. So realistically, if I were her, I would kind of pull back a little bit on showing how much of a threat she is, because, even these people who aren't the smartest, the Alicias and all these people in the world, eventually they're going to get an idea that, this girl's winning all the challenges, everyone likes her, she's making a lot of decisions, the light bulb's going to come on soon enough. So if anything, from in terms of Kim, the one thing I haven't loved about her gameplay is she's a little bit too... She's too good at the challenges. She has to pump the brakes a little bit and just pull back a little bit and maybe not try to win, especially the reward challenges and stuff like that, because that just puts you in a really bad situation. Especially, you look at what Cat and Cat, she won the challenge you never want to win and ends up getting her booted off the show.
Yeah, that's right. And before we get into the later game with Kim and all the rest of the women, just before, I think the last thing we want to touch on pre-merge is, of course, there was that tribe swap that we talked about a little bit before, where the men and women suddenly swapped up and now everyone's on new tribes. And of course, we get the Greek gods versus the rejects, or I'm spacing now on the word that Colton used to describe them. But anyway, so the one real thing that we really saw come out of that ended up having a lasting impact was Kim kind of putting her hooks into Jay, as we mentioned, Jay and Troy's in, and ultimately getting them to trust her to the point of they were willing to vote with her at the merge, which then allowed her to secure the number with the women and move on from there. So again, this is another one of the spots where I want to find out, and again, this is you're playing as you. You're not just advising Jay. You're there as you in Jay's spot, so you have all your own wits about you and not just using Jay's brain. If you get swapped over with Jay and Troy's in and Kim comes over and approaches you about a new alliance, obviously this is a good situation in terms of perhaps opening up some lines for a contingency plan, and I'm very curious how someone like you would handle that situation.
So you're saying the swap just happened and I'm over there with
you're now in Jay, it's you instead of Jay, and Kim, as we saw her approach Jay and Troy's in, and they kind of, right.
Okay, before the merge. Before the merge, anybody approaches me with almost any alliance, I'm always saying yes to it. So from Jay's standpoint, I understand that point. My idea or my thought process at that juncture as Jay would be this: go with this, see how it plays out, see how other people react to her. Maybe whoever my closest ally is at the time, run it by them. So if Troyzan's my closest ally at the time, say, pull him aside at some other point. You always say yes into her face, then pull him aside at some point and be like, all right, man. So, Kim approached me with this, has she talked to you about it? See if she's talked to him about it, and then say, what do you think? How do you feel about it? What's your gut feeling? Feel him out. If he's like, that girl's full of shit, I don't like her, she's up to something, be like, yeah, man, I got a bad feeling from her too. If he's like, dude, she seems like a sweet girl, I think she's, I think this could be a good option for us, be like, you're definitely right, man. And just kind of go with what my ally says and with my whoever I'm really the closest to at that point. Unless I really feel like it's a really advantageous move and my closest ally doesn't have a strong opinion. If he's like, I don't know, what do you think? And I feel like one way or the other, which in that spot, I would feel positively about it. I'd say, this gives us options, man. We never know what's going to happen with those guys. On the other side, if we ever get Tarzan back, he's a train wreck. We never know what to expect from him. Mike's, you and Mike have had a bad thing the whole time. So if Troy wasn't necessarily opinionated, I would have tried to pull for yes. If he was opinionated, I would just go with what he said.
How often, having played yourself, and how often in general do you think that kind of mirroring someone is typically the best line of action when you don't really care one way or the other?
Almost always, man.
And are there, because I realize that question sounds leading in terms of setting up almost always, but are there any places that you think is particularly good or bad?
I think mirroring's particularly bad when the game's pretty much, I don't want to say decided, but when, you know, you need to kind of separate yourself from the pack a little bit. For my instance is like when I got to my final five or whatever, I knew I had a final three lock with, you know, coach and Sophie or whatever. You know, that's when I don't want to mirror anymore. I want to make my own, you know, my own separate plays. But by and large, when the game's still unsettled, the numbers are still unsettled, mirroring is important, especially with people that you necessarily don't know that long. You know, a season like swaps, man, when you have swaps and stuff like that, you really have to play very, very cautiously, I feel, because you can't count on constants. I feel like my season, there was a lot more constants. There was a lot more people. I knew where almost every person stood on every single day that we were out there. And I don't think it's editing that this season it's not as obvious, you know, that where everyone stands. Like, you know, you had Alicia telling Tarzan today, in the last episode, you know, we're going to, if Chelsea doesn't win a meeting, we're going to vote her out. I really do think she believed that and changed her mind. You didn't really see much of that in our season. And I think that's just something that happens when you have a season with this, with the swaps, and we have both tribes. You know, the production is doing their best to make Survivor more difficult. You know, they're adding levels of difficulty, so people like, you know, myself who try to play the game to win from every single standpoint can't just come out and say, you know, this thing's been on for 24 years, we got to figure it out. They're trying to add extra, you know, nooks and crannies to make it even tougher. So, you know, again, to answer your question, mirroring is very important unless it's really the nitty gritty of the end of the game where you have to separate yourself from the pack.
Okay, so if we want to talk about strategy for a bit, it makes sense to do that from Kim's perspective, I think, because she is probably the one thinking player in the game at this point, and certainly has been for quite a while now. Do you like how she's played it since the merge? Because she's had a few decisions. Firstly, who to take out at the merge, then when and if to turn on Jay and Troy's, and then how to proceed from there. Do you like how she's played it so far?
If I can actually jump in before you do this, you know, you mentioned earlier not perhaps liking the Jonas boot at the merge. Do you want to go into a little bit about what you may have done differently if you were in Kim's spot there?
If I was in Kim's spot, yeah, I definitely would have initially. If she has an idea in her mind that she's not going to vote out a girl, which was pretty evident, and she already knows, she feels that her girls' alliance is solid, so she knows I have a solid six. I don't hate her taking out a stronger male player there, somebody who might have a bigger chance to win, like a Jay and a Troy. Now, I know the counter-argument to that is the numbers are still large enough where something can happen against her, so I guess she was keeping them as insurance, Jay and Troy, but I just feel like those non-aggressive players aren't going to turn on you or aren't going to get the tide to turn on you, so I'd rather keep them than keep somebody who I feel like, you know, even voting off Mike, I think, would have been a nice vote for her in the first merge, first boot after the merge, just because he's to me, I know he got a limited edit, he seemed like somewhat of a thinking player and somebody who could, you know, eventually maybe turn the tide, even though he wasn't that well-liked within his male tribe. I would have preferred, you know, more traditional vote out a stronger guy at the merge from Kim's standpoint. To answer your question, Dom, do I think she's playing well after the merge? I think she is. I think it's evident that I think the only person that's really aware of her or even questions that she has, you know, some kind of, you know, duality to her is Sabrina, who's one of her closest allies. Sabrina's the only one that knows that Kim's a good liar. I think everyone else just thinks Kim's a good person. And that's a big difference, you know, and, you know, being able to be a good liar is important in that game. So I think the fact that she's been able to be so smooth and deliver every single one of her moves without anybody really, you know, coming back and blaming her for it, to this point has really been a testament to pretty decent gameplay. I don't necessarily, like I said, the only thing I don't necessarily love is her playing the challenges. I think she hasn't been a target, really. And I think she has her eggs in so many baskets that even if she were to become a target, she could get wind of it. I don't think a true blindside could happen to her in this season, the way it's been playing out. So I don't think she has to really win every single reward and immunity challenge. I think, especially the fact that she has an idol. If she gets wind that something's up, she could always play an idol. To me, I just think it's a little bit much. That's the only part I really don't love about her game. Her social game's been excellent. Her war choice is almost always spectacular. She uses the right language to get people to buy in with her. She knows how to give people what they want to hear. Played very similar to Willow the way I tried to play. And then she did, you know, to this point has done a better job than I did.
Do you think though that if she realizes that no one's seriously trying to come after her, she might be trying to win the challenge just so that if the jury is angry at her, at least she has something else to hang her hat on. So you can say, look, you may not respect the game I played, but look, I won all of these challenges, you know, no one else did the same thing. It's just something else to fall back on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's now after watching, specifically after watching this last episode, now I feel like that's her thought process, which I don't necessarily love. I think there's easier avenues available. I'm more of a fan of bring goats to the end, really. I mean, I know people, you know, and it's funny because you watch players say, like, you watch Chelsea say, I can't believe she's going to be here longer than me, referring to Christina. You know, these people in Survivor, they still have this idea in their mind that, like, there really is, like, a sense of this person deserves to be here. Like, there's no deserving to anything in Survivor. It's not about, you know, I deserve, she deserves. It's just about what's the best play for me individually to win. If the fact that Kim was on board with voting out a guy like Tarzan, who, you know, no matter how much they tried to, you know, give lip service at tribal council that, you know, Tarzan's a threat, so, you know, he won't be upset when he inevitably got voted off. The dude was never winning. The dude was absolutely drawing dead. He's probably the closest to drawing dead at Final Six of anybody I've seen ever on Survivor. He's not getting votes.
Philip Shepard?
Philip Shepard got a vote. I'm telling you, I don't think Tarzan's getting a vote. I mean, maybe a random Alicia vote, but I mean, the male tribe hated him. They absolutely hate him. They're sitting there at Ponderosa and they're all looking at him like, this whack job, freaking crazy old guy is here and we're here. I mean, juries, they're not going to vote for him.
I actually have one. I can do you one better. Russell Hanson, Heroes versus Villains.
Russell and Heroes, yeah.
I think yeah. You're right though. Tarzan, at least from what we've seen.
Tarzan's up there. Russell at least had some claim to, you know, I had some gameplay and I did some stuff. Tarzan was not going to win the game. So.
Yeah, and Russell, in terms of you can absolutely make the argument that he might deserve to win Heroes versus Villains, depending on what you value in terms of as a juror. If you value solely playing aggressively to get to the end and don't value social game at all. But in terms of Russell was never, ever, ever going to get the majority of the votes at any point from the merge on.
Right, especially in an all-star season where it's just, you know, the egos are so high on those seasons and people don't like to, they don't like when people, you know, kind of rub it in their face, they outplayed them or whatever. It's not the way to win that season. You could win other seasons that way, but not that way. Tarzan, man, I'm telling you, he had no shot. And the fact that Kim was on board with getting rid of him kind of speaks to Dom's point of maybe she's trying to build her trophy case with the social aspect, not trying to necessarily surround herself with the weakest players. You know, she talked about going to the end with Sabrina and Chelsea, which are arguably Sabrina's head and shoulders the second best player in the season. She's the second most aware. She's the best well spoken. She knows how to use her words. She's by far the second best player. And then Chelsea, I don't think anybody dislikes Chelsea. Chelsea isn't necessarily a good Survivor player. Because she really doesn't, you know, she makes comments like that person deserves to be here. You know, she didn't want to vote out Troy because she liked them. She makes decisions based on, you know, like real life things, like who do I like and what, you know, what deserves to be right, which isn't how you play Survivor. But, you know, she's well liked. Nobody dislikes Chelsea. So the fact that Kim wants to, is as of right now planning to go to the end with those two makes me think, yeah, maybe she is trying to load up on the accolades to prove to the jury why she deserves to win. If that's her thought process, she's taking a tough road. You know, for me, I would have tried my best to take Christine and Tarzan to the end. It might have cost me those other votes, but, you know, it might have caused some resentment after the game, but realistically, I don't think anybody on that jury was voting for either of those other two, Tarzan and Christine. You would have had almost a repeat of Redemption Island, Tarzan being Philip Shepard and Christina being Natalie Tenorelli.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely get on to the possible threat posed by Sabrina in a minute, because we want to talk about this episode and then the endgame. Before we do that, just a few quick questions. We talked about how Kim coming into the merge. She has Jay and Troy on there, and these two are potentially dangerous because they seem well-liked, they're good in challenges, and if she lets them stay in the game too long, then they could cause some havoc down the road. If you're her, when are you trying to get them out of the game? Do you do it when she did it? Do you do it earlier? Do you do it later?
I think the earlier the better for those two guys. Like I said, all those points you made are right. They're the most skilled guys in terms of challenge prowess. Other than Mike, I think, you know, I think the fact that she played on their emotions a little bit in terms of leading them when she didn't need to lead them and still making them think that they were with them until it was became blatantly obvious that the writing was on the wall, that she wasn't really with them, could have done some damage in terms of for Kim specifically. I think it just would have been the earlier the better for them, because then all they do is sit back and just watch her, you know, take down the game. If she recognizes there's not many threats within her female alliance, which there really weren't, as it turned out to be, I go get those guys the sooner the better. So, you know, I would have tried to take Jay and Troy out one and two, and then maybe take Mike out immediately after that would have been my thought process.
Another factor that I think goes into that is, and I think this is something we definitely saw in your season, you know, you guys ended up just pogonging the Savai'i tribe on getting down to the final six all yourself, and there was never any, despite your best efforts, there was never anyone on your own tribe getting in or getting voted out while a Savai'i stayed, before all the Savai'i were gone, that is. And this is something that we didn't see happen this season as Kat went before Tarzan over the course of the last two episodes, and this is something that I think in seasons where everyone thinks they're all part of this giant alliance, as we saw this season with the women and as we saw on your season with your alliance, how much do you think in terms of voting someone out when you could be voting out someone who's not within that giant group makes a difference in terms of them as a juror and how it kind of taints the jury pool for you in general?
That's an excellent question, man, and that's a really next level thing. I agree that I think that makes a huge, huge difference in the jury, especially with somebody who's outspoken. That's why when I saw Kat go before Tarzan, immediately I was under the impression that she, you know, she, Kim and Sabrina, the power players, were really positioning themselves to go to the end with the goats, you know, Christina and Tarzan. That's the only real justification I would have for it. You know, if you're not going to take Tarzan deep into the game, vote him out before Kat, because Tarzan understands he's going to go out before Kat. So that's, I felt like that was a little bit of a weird play. It's kind of like, it's kind of like floating, you know, floating behind on the turn when you have absolutely no hand to just then check, or just fold the river behind when nothing really changes when a brick hits. It's just like once you commit to the play one, you know, one street, you kind of have to play it out. So when they got rid of Kat, you know, at the seventh slot, I realistically don't like then going for now Tarzan and what, you know, should invariably probably be Christina if she doesn't win the first immunity challenge, which would be playing it very straightforward. I agree. I think it could do more harm than good getting rid of Kat needlessly in the seventh slot if you're not going to bring the goats to the end.
All right. So moving on to this subject quickly, there are a lot of things we could talk about, so it's difficult to know where to start. One thing that stood out to me, though, was, like you said, Sabrina at this point seems like the only person who realizes that Kim is actually like playing head and shoulders above everyone else. And I was wondering, do you think Kim maybe has put herself up too far in that regard? Because we saw her say to Sabrina, look, I managed to convince Alicia about all of this stuff, and you know, I've managed to get Tarzan to think this and everything. And Sabrina seems to be reacting to that. So do you think Kim is maybe like starting to punt there?
I think Kim is starting to become aware that, you know, she's out there. I just think she gets so much reassurance, Dom. I really do. I mean, you watch them on the reward and, you know, Chelsea's like, I love you. She's like trying to talk strategy and everyone's just praising her. And she's just getting so much reassurance. Everyone's always going to her with all the information and all the information always checks out. That I think she feels like she can be in that position right now and still kind of maneuver her way to the end, just because there aren't many people playing to win, other than her right now. Sabrina, I think, is the only other one that's aware of her, and I'm really surprised because Sabrina reminds me a lot of myself in my season, because she was, I think she was, and just the way she's been edited, you know, you don't really hear much from her, but the little snippets you do hear, seem to make a lot of sense. And really, I'm surprised she didn't, you know, she wasn't, interested in making a move with the goats herself. I would have, you know, I really would have liked to see a Sabrina, Tarzan, Christina, Alicia kind of revolution, happen, because I think that really would have been the only way Sabrina's going to win. I think Sabrina's probably going to make it to the final three and not win just because of the way she's positioned herself in the game.
So say somehow through some weird twist of fate, you were in Tarzan's position now at final six in this episode that we're now talking about. And we saw him bring it up, which is the three of us being the three that were not picked for the award, for the reward, Alicia and Christina and himself, we should group together and go to Rocks because those three are solid together and you two are on the bottom. But ultimately that didn't end up happening. But that seems like certainly a great plan if you're Tarzan. And it seems like something that those other two probably should have at least considered. And we certainly saw Alicia, look into it before Tarzan kind of messed it up for himself. But how do you think, it's, in terms of convincing them to make a move on your behalf, how would you go about doing that in Tarzan's spot like we saw last week?
Yeah, you know, to Tarzan's credit, I've been kind of, you know, it's been rough to watch him for me. I'm like torn on Tarzan. Is the guy entertaining? Is he good television? Is he a big character? Yes. Does he have any idea how to play Survivor or like whatsoever? Not really, but this last episode, I actually thought he did okay. I think he finally became aware that he does have a role or some way or something that he could bring some sort of value. And that's, hey guys, I'm a huge goat. Bring me to the end. I'm never going to win. You know, he said that in Final Tribal that, you know, who's going to give the money to a millionaire? I voted off all these guys, you know, and I think it's unfortunate for him because, the way that everyone reported to Kim was smart enough and quick enough to kind of flip the script on him. Like if he was playing them, he wasn't really playing them. He was just saying, bring me to the end as a goat. He wasn't trying to create a mastermind ploy to win the game. He was just trying to get himself a little bit ahead. And Kim used that and just fueled that paranoia to scare Alicia and to scare Christina and say, you know, we can't let ourselves get played by these guy, by this guy who's, you know, this freaking, you know, like clown guy. And, you know, clearly these girls who aren't necessarily thinking in pure rational stretch from the strategy standpoint are going to say, you're right, Kim, we can't let this guy who's a goofball, you know, kind of trick us. Let's vote against them, it's a very, very good social play. Alicia, she's not necessarily the sharpest tool in the shed. She's probably, significantly the dumbest person of the season remaining. And coincidentally, she also believes that she has a lot more power than she does. So she's being played by like a fiddle right now. And, you know, her only shot to really win the game kind of went out the window, I think, when she let Tarzan go.
Yeah. Now the thing that at least this is just a quick little comment here in terms of, if I'm in Kim's position and Tarzan saying, oh, take me, I'm a goat, or anyone saying, take me, I'm a goat, I'm a goat. If you're truly a goat, in my mind, you don't even know what a goat is. You don't know that you are a goat.
Right. That's really interesting. It's true. And I don't think he realized he was a goat until just now. I really don't think he did. Because you saw how honest he was in those confessionals when he like was saying, wow, you know what? Yeah, I kind of am a goat. And yes, a goat doesn't realize he's a goat, but once you've acted like a goat, you are a goat. Those guys hate him. The girls in camp are annoyed by him. There's nobody really that likes him. He hasn't won. He hasn't even been close to winning a challenge. He hasn't come up with a single piece of, you know, strategy. He's this character. And, you know, to his credit, I think him using that was his only way to kind of save himself from being a predictable goat, you know, in a normal season. I honestly, me being in Kim's shoes or one of the power player shoes, I would have been really tempted to keep Tarzan. Just because I know he's never going to win, and it's more people that are there that can't win, the better for me.
In that case, then, who do you think you would have taken out instead this episode if you were Kim?
Realistically, it's tough, but I think Kim's best move was Sabrina, because she's the only other person who is going to be aware enough to, you know, Chelsea's following her blindly. Chelsea's never going to blindside her. Christina's very slim to win. Tarzan's almost dead to win. I think, you know, and Alicia had immunity. I think Sabrina was her best bet. But it would have taken a big move. She would have had to have gotten everybody else, you know, on the other side to do it. But I think Kim would have been good enough to come up with a reason. In Survivor, you know, it's the old adage is you don't need a good reason to get voted off Survivor. You just need a reason. You know, she could have come up with something, you know, could have come back and said, listen, on this reward, we're on this yacht. Sabrina came up with this master plan and she's talking crazy and yada, 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 X, Y, Z. It would have been easy because, you know, at that point, Christina's going to vote for whoever she's told to vote for. So is Tarzan. So is Kim. All she needs to do is convince Chelsea, and Chelsea's going to listen to her. Chelsea's in her back pocket. Boom, all of a sudden you get Sabrina off the island. Now you're looking at a situation where, you know, she's going to win a really, really high percentage of the time with Christina, Tarzan, Chelsea, who's everyone pretty much kind of sees as her follower, and Alicia, who's really not that well-liked.
I guess the counter-argument would be that we saw in this episode a lot of plotting between Alicia, Tarzan, and Christina as a group, and the worry is that if you let the three of them get down to Final Five, all of a sudden they have a majority, and now if they do suddenly wise up and realize what a threat Kim is, then they have the vote to take her out.
Well, the beauty from Kim's standpoint is she does have an idol that she has in her back pocket that, if I'm not mistaken, could get her. She could play at Final Five.
And That's correct.
And then, so that gets her one elimination ahead. Then, I mean, look at the field. You know, I think she feels confident enough where she can beat that field going forward. I understand the numbers argument, but it's, you know, Tarzan and Christina are pretty much just not functional on pretty much any sort of challenge. And Alicia won, but she's not necessarily very good either. So it's not like they're even comparable physical players. And, you know, she and her mindset at that point, Alicia was still kind of with her. So I see your side of the argument as well. You know, don't let the goats kind of add up against you. But I don't know. I just think it would have been a little bit better of a play.
Now, Albert, when we had you on to talk about last season, one of the things we talked about a lot was the memorable tribal council in which Brandon gave up his necklace to you and got voted out. And one of the things we asked you then was, how do you manage to tailor an appeal to a guy like Brandon who, you know, it is very unlike you in a lot of ways. And one of the things which really highlighted how good Kim is to me was just how she knew how to hit every single right note with Alicia when talking about the Tarzan betrayal. It's like, she said that, you know, he's trying to make it into like a men versus women thing, like playing on this whole us versus them mentality. And the whole way in which she like constructed that appeal to Alicia was masterful, I thought.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was, you could tell early on, she said, you know, wow, I can't believe it. You know, Tarzan's been up to this whole time. And, you know, and it's so funny because, you know, she doesn't really believe that. She's just spitting BS to convince Alicia, but Alicia's eating it up right out of the palm of her hand. She's saying, you know, after all we've done, if a guy wins this, man, it'll make me sick. It'll make me cringe. And, you know, she sold her really hard, and it just showed how completely unaware Alicia is in this game and how she's going to let, you know, this player who's just absolutely just, you know, pulling the wool over her eyes and just run with it. And just pretty much that conversation alone, I think, canceled Alicia's chance to win the game. And she didn't have a great chance, but I think it pretty much brought her to almost nothing, barring her winning back-to-back immunities from the Final Five. And sometimes the jury will be like, wow, she won the last three immunities. Maybe let's give it to her. But, you know, realistically, you know, her letting her judgment be clouded by Kim's smooth talk right there, I think cost her in a really big way, because you can't get rid of your goat there. You can't get rid of the goat that wants to vote with you. You know, Alicia had an ideal situation. She has the two players least likely to win the game in agreement with her, voting with her against the power players. I mean, and then she just lets the power player talk her out of it. To me, that's pretty head shaking.
Right. Like, if you put a rational player in Alicia's position there, that player probably wins a startling high potential at the time, because you have two ideal goats with you in Tarzan and Christina, and two obvious boot targets in Kim and Sabrina, so you're safe. And now you get to just waltz into the final three with a perfect setup for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she and winning immunity and that whole situation right there, it's she was in a really, really good spot having those two players with her, and it blew my mind how easily she was talked out of it. And now, you know, they kind of made a point of it to show her, like, you know, I'm the queen of the social game. I think it's, you know, editing kind of poking fun at how, yeah, you know, she said that, yet she probably made one of, if not the biggest social game mistake or strategic mistake of the season.
Yeah, the irony was quite thick. One of the things I thought in terms of that conversation between Kim and Alicia is Kim was doing a bit of mirroring, I thought, in terms of just the excitement level and mannerisms. And it seemed to me a lot like Kim kind of spun that entire tale based solely off of what Alicia was telling her herself, kind of like a psychic doing like a cold read.
That's exactly what, that's like 100% exactly what it was. And it's like sometimes I literally just start laughing. And I'm just like, oh, my God, like this is literally how I – tried to prepare for and a lot of times played Survivor was just like Kim was playing. Granted, dude, it's tough because, you know, she's been on her game from day one to day 36, and, you know, the edit's given her credit, man, and, you know, she's, you know, America's getting to see what a great player she is, and that's how you play the game, and that's how I wanted to play, and that's how I tried to play it. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, when people compared notes on my season, I kind of got the shit end of it a little bit. But, you know, to her credit, man, she's playing it exactly how in her shoes I would have ideally liked to have played.
Yeah, the best thing about Kim's whole pitch there to me was the idea of Tarzan coming up with this master plan and putting it on is so absurd that it actually does seem kind of plausible, because if you think it's going to happen, then, you know, you entertain the idea. But you could tell that Alita was so scared about being made to look a fool by this idiot guy who's 64 years old and, you know, apparently can't speak English properly, that, you know, this idea crystallizes in her head that this really can't be allowed to happen. She has to get rid of him, even though it's patently a stupid idea for her. So I thought Kim, again, just tailored that very well.
Yeah, it was gorgeous, man, and I think it turned the tide completely on everything. And I don't think you're unjust in saying that other than Kim, in that specific spot, Alicia probably had the second best opportunity to win the game, just given who the two people that she, you know, she got left back with the two goats. They wanted to vote with her. She had immunity. She's in a great spot there, and she just completely, in my opinion, dropped the ball.
Yeah, she's free-rolling going to rocks.
Yeah, she really is.
So I think what we're going to do from this point on is, you know, obviously this Sunday is the big finale. We're going to find out the new winner. And the way we got five people left, we have Christina, Chelsea, Alicia, Kim, and Sabrina. And I think the way we want to kind of approach forecasting this thing is we're going to have the four that are not Kim and basically ask you what you think they should be doing in terms of trying to get back into the race. And then we'll conclude with Kim in terms of how you think she should go on and convert the win from here. And I think the place to start is with Christina, because honestly, I'm not sure there's much you can much she can do. But if you have any kind of insight, any way Christina can pull it off, please let us know.
Christina has the hardest road to climb of the final five. I think that's pretty obvious. Her best avenue right now would be some kind of late miracle. If she manages to win even just one immunity and make it to final four, that would be huge, because now at final four, she has a tremendous plea of, guys, everyone over there doesn't like me. You know, I'm not necessarily, you know, going to win the game. You bring me, you're going to have an easier chance to win $1 million. And then if she gets to final tribal, she just has to play the game and say, listen, you know, how many of you guys here thought I was going to be here? Nobody did. And I battled, I scratched and clawed, you know, and kind of sell the underdog story to the jury that say, you know, I could have quit early on this game, but I never gave up, yada, yada, yada. I kept, you know, my head above water when everyone thought I was going to drown, you know, that whole spiel. And, you know, it's not going to be the easiest road, but to me, that's really her only bet, her only opportunities, hopefully to find a way to win at Final Five, or try to scare somebody into, you know, voting off one of the stronger players, which I don't really think will happen.
Let's move on from here. Let's talk about Alicia from now.
Okay. Alicia has a really tough road as well. Alicia, I think she kind of blew it, as we just mentioned earlier, in the last vote. Her thing is she has to kind of upsell herself as somebody that not necessarily is going to be too well liked either. I think Kim's going to listen to that. I think Chelsea's going to listen to that. I think even Sabrina specifically will listen. I think her thing is if she can get Sabrina to realize how big of a threat Kim is, and she can still have Christina to vote with her like Christina wanted to vote with her in the previous week, all of a sudden she has three out of five. You know, if you tell Sabrina, you know, Kim and Chelsea got a thing going on here, and do you want to just make it to the end, or do you want to have a chance to win? And she can pull a coup with Sabrina and Christina. All of a sudden, she can kind of maybe sneak her way to the end. I really don't like her chances to win at the end, but I think that's if there's any way for her to get there, that's got to be it.
Yeah. Perhaps the person who's in the most interesting position after Kim is Chelsea, who it seems like she can't beat either Kim or Sabrina, but she can beat Alicia and Christina. And now at the final five, she has this perfect opportunity, if all three of them are up for it, for flipping the game around and getting rid of Sabrina and Kim next. Do you think she should do that, and do you think she can do that if she wants to?
I think she definitely should do that, and I definitely think she cannot do that. Chelsea, in a weird way, reminds me a lot of Coach Wade. And I can say, like, how is Chelsea like Coach? Well, the thing is, I don't think Chelsea has that gear. I think Chelsea has that play available to her. I just think she's limited by her personality. I think she treats Survivor way too much like it's real life, which is what hurt Coach Wade and his ability to possibly, you know, win the game, or possibly, you know, do better, you know, playing the game three times. You know, if she was more about, you know, cutthroat and realize, let's make a cold, calculated, rational decision here, of course you try to gun for Kim and get rid of a player who's going to win the game if she makes it to the end. I just don't think she has it in her. I think she genuinely likes Kim. She's a sweet person. She just is going to let that affect her ability to win a $1 million strategy game.
What about Sabrina? Because it seems like Sabrina is now destined for fourth place, and there's not much she can do about it.
Sabrina, man, I wouldn't necessarily count her out. I think I kind of like Sabrina to make to the final three. I think Sabrina is good with people. I think she knows how to. She's just below where Kim is at in terms of how to deal with people without getting them, you know, angry at them. You haven't really seen anybody get upset at Sabrina. You haven't really seen Sabrina get upset at anyone. I mean, you saw her get a little riled up when she was just trying to turn the tide on Kat when she didn't pick them for the reward challenge. But Sabrina's more persuasive than I think people give her credit for. I think she speaks well. I think she's going to bust her butt in this next challenge to win it. I think she's a pretty good athlete. Realistically, I just, you know, I think Sabrina has a good chance to make it to the end. I just don't think she's necessarily, going to get there because Kim might be aware that this might be, you know, a tough player to beat. And Sabrina, she's going to be persuasive. You already heard her mention before. She's going to be persuasive in front of the jury. She's going to be well spoken. Those players are always dangerous when you get to the final three.
Okay, so now, obviously, the most interesting position is Kim's. How do you play this if you're Kim going forward? Because it seems like she has a good shot of beating anyone, including Sabrina, and now she just needs to focus on getting there. And there are a few different ways she can do that. There are a lot of different combinations of people she can make it there with. What do you do if you're her?
Funny enough, man, you know, even though I think she's the odds-on favorite to win, I still think she has some big decisions ahead of her. If she cuts Chelsea's throat, it's going to be really, really tough because, you know, Chelsea might, we don't know what her reaction is going to be upon Rosa, how bitter she's going to feel, how that's going to reverberate through the tribe. So I think once Kim made the decision to get rid of Tarzan last week or this last vote, I think she's kind of made her bed and now she's got to sleep in it. Her bed is going to be, let me go to the end with Chelsea and the people that I've made my promises to and Sabrina. And I think that's what she's going to end up sticking to, and she's going to end up kind of rolling the dice. You know, if she wanted to position herself against people she could beat, I think the last couple of votes would have been a little differently. I think Kat would have been still be in the game. I think Tarzan might still be in the game. And if she wanted to do some dirty work, it would have had to have happened a little sooner. But right now, I think she's going to stick with Chelsea in hopes that she can beat her. And I think she's going to stick with Sabrina and hope she's going to beat her. And, you know, if she wins at least one of these other two immunities, she has a really, really really solid argument behind her. She's made almost every single executive decision. She's been a challenge dominator if she wins another one. And, you know, she played a really, really good game, day one through day 39.
Here's a scenario that I see playing out, and I don't want to speak for Colin, but I'm pretty sure he feels the same way. So we know that we've seen Alicia and Christina be pretty close so far, and the Warriors, if they get to Final Four and they force a tie against someone, that's one of the few ways in which Kim could be ejected from the game at that point. So if I'm Kim, I'm looking to get one of them out of the game at Final Five, probably Alicia. Then when we get down to four, the obvious biggest threat left is Sabrina, and everyone will go along with beating Sabrina. So now I'm in the Final Three with Chelsea and Alicia, and I win pretty easy from there, and it seems like that scenario happens a high percentage of the time.
Well, correct me wrong, I thought you said Christina out in Final Five then?
Alicia at Final Five. And then Sabrina at Final Four.
And then Christina and Chelsea in Final Three.
Yeah, sorry. So Chelsea and whichever one of Alicia and Christina left.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that scenario. The way I see it playing out most likely is probably going to be Alicia out at five and Christina out at four with the Sabrina-Chelsea combination as the other two finalists with Kim. Do I think that's the easiest road? No, but do I think she has... Given the combinations that are left, I don't think she has many better options. I agree with you that Christina and Alicia don't have the closest allegiance to her, so you have to get rid of one of the two at five. To me, that's a pivotal part of the game for Kim. But, you know, moving forward, I just think that she's, you know, I think she's really positioning herself to win against, you know, the whole field. She just wants to get there. And at this point, I think she feels most confident keeping Sabrina, keeping Chelsea around, because she's not going to vote her off, and keeping Sabrina around because she thinks she can beat her.
It just seems like when they're in the Final Four and the choice is between booting Sabrina or booting, like, whichever of Alicia and Christina's left, it just seems like you're free around at that point by booting Sabrina. Like, there's no benefit to keeping Sabrina at that point, because it's the end of the game. Like, there are no more votes down the road that you need Sabrina's allegiance for. The only thing to consider at that point is the fact that she's well-liked, she's articulate, you know, she's pretty smart.
Right. So your argument is to say to keep Sabrina until Final Three?
To keep Sabrina until Final Four and then get rid of her then at the last point at which, you know, you can get someone out for the jury phase.
Yeah. I think that's personally for me, that's a more optimal play, because I think Sabrina wins more often than Christina or Alicia do. Do I think Kim's going to do that? Most likely no. But in my, yes, me in her shoes, I try to get rid of, probably one of the two goats, just because, Alicia and Christina at five. And then if Sabrina's available to get rid of at four, I probably would try to get rid of Chelsea at four, but just, I'm not sure if that, the reverberations of that and how Sabrina could spin that against me at a final tribal situation, considering that was my closest ally and stuff. I guess the argument probably sides with Sabrina out at four over Chelsea out at four, because Chelsea out at four could affect her more negatively upon Rosa.
Sure. Now, Albert, something we like to do here each week is assign first place equity breakdowns to each of the remaining players in terms of how likely we think each of them are to win. And I'm curious what you think now. For instance, we've had Kim in like the high 60s for many weeks ago, like 60% of first place equity. I know you know how equity generally works, at least in poker.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you think in terms of how you think the remaining candidates break down in terms of each of their likelihood to win.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Okay. Do you want to go top to bottom or random order?
Top to bottom is how we do it, typically. That's up to you. Whatever you feel like.
Okay. I think I feel pretty confident that Kim's an overpair right now and heads up.
We don't necessarily. Not all of our people necessarily listen to poker, so percentages would be helpful.
No, I know. So I'm saying she's 80% right now.
Okay. All right.
She's aces versus sevens right now. She's 80% to win, in my opinion. I think Chelsea's somewhere about 10%, 10 to 12%, maybe a little higher. Chelsea's probably about 5% or 15%. And then I think Sabrina carries the remaining
five.
And then I kind of think Christina's drawing dead and, Alicia's drawing. Oh, okay. I can't say drawing dead for Alicia because she might win both immunities. So I'll give Alicia a 2%. She's got a one out or going to the ring.
All right.
I'll give Sabrina three off of Chelsea's total. So I'll give Sabrina five, and I'll give Chelsea 12%.
All right.
Yeah. Now, one last question before we let you go. We're wondering if Kim does win the season, and this looks pretty overwhelmingly likely at this point, how would she stack up compared to previous winners?
I'm sorry, who lost it for saying? How does who stack up?
If Kim were to win the season, which we're pretty sure she will at this point,
how does she stack up against previous winners? Wow, pretty damn good. Realistically, for a first-time player, I mean, people look at, you know, they say Boston Rob on Redemption Island played a dominant season, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, things that you said about that particular one. I think for a first-time player, she's in the top five easily, maybe top three. I mean, you know, obviously you got to throw Richard Hatch in there, who kind of created the way to play Survivor, and just, you know, there's a lot to be said about what Kim did this year. I mean, I can't really remember a player going through a season like this as a first timer who's done well in challenges, been a leader, never really been talked about as somebody to get voted off, found the immunity idol. It's just doing so many things right. I think she, you know, if she ends up winning this season, she's a top three first time winner and probably a top five winner overall.
Tom Westman jumps to mind in terms of someone like that.
Yeah, Tom Westman, who just crushed challenges and won in a unanimous vote, obviously would be, you know, up there. JT, who won in a unanimous vote his first season as well, are up there. So I think she could easily be in that conversation.
Now, if that does happen, just because of recency bias, the natural temptation for a lot of people is going to be to compare it to Sophie. How do you think the two of them compare?
I've heard a lot about that, and you know, I still talk to Sophie, and I know Sophie's a little, you know, I don't want to say resentful, it's not the right word, but she feels a little slighted that she feels like she played somewhere near the same game that Kim did and didn't get the edit that Kim has gotten. I guess I can understand her point on that. I feel I played a very similar game to Kim too, and I didn't get the edit she got, but clearly I didn't win, so I understand why I didn't get that edit. But I think Kim's a better player than Sophie. I don't think Sophie's a bad player. I think Sophie, I've said it before, has played really well. I think Kim's better. She's physically better. You know, even though Sophie won some immunities, if I had to draft teams or draft tribes, I'm taking Kim specifically from a challenge standpoint 100 out of 100 times over Sophie. She's more likable. People genuinely like Kim a lot. Sophie's an interesting girl. She's smart and everything, but she's not a generally likable person. People don't flock to Sophie to be friends with her. I like her personally. Me and her got along pretty well. But I like people like that are like Sophie, who are, you know, kind of have something going on between the years. But I think Kim overall is a better player than her.
Yeah, I think another thing that Sophie had to suffer from was your season had a lot of really big characters on it that this season has not had post merge.
Yeah.
So her airtime was, she just, there wasn't airtime for her.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm sure I don't have to tell you about that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And that's true. You know, we had two returners who were big characters and two guys, you know, guys like, you know, Cochran and stuff who are just big characters who are going to get a lot of time that, you know, make it tougher strategy players like Sophie. Sophie's not a colorful player. She's a strategy player, very similar to me. You know, I wasn't there to create fights and start arguments. I was there to play the game to win $1 million. So in a season when there's not many characters, you're going to hear a lot more from the strategic players, which I kind of like. You know, I like the fact that I get to hear where Kim's perspective on it, her being the only thinking player really other than Sabrina on the island. I like that. A lot of viewers like the colorful people and that whole thing. So, I don't know. I can understand how viewers would not necessarily put Sophie and Kim in the same conversation, but, you know, no disrespect to Sophie at all, man. She might not be as good as Kim, but she's pretty damn good.
All right. Now, Albert, it's kind of 4:30 your time. We know we want to let you go. We saw your Twitter message, so we know, you know, the last hour might have been a physical ordeal for you as well. Is there anything you want to cover before we let you go?
Not right now. I probably drop a line into you guys later on in the summer. I got some projects that are brewing that will be pretty decent. But, yeah, in reference to the Twitter line, yeah, you guys caught me right as a – right when you guys called me up, I was like, you know, nature was calling. I had to use the bathroom a little bit.
Sorry about that.
I've been holding it strong, man. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have you back any time. If you want to talk about those projects, talk about anything else, yeah, it'd be great to have you back. So, Colin, unless there's anything else for you.
I'm good.
All right, well, Albert, it's been great talking to you again, and we will be in touch with you soon.
All right, thanks again, gentlemen, and excellent work again. I've been listening in, and you guys are top-notch, so keep doing your thing.
Thanks so much. Thanks for being here, and we will see you guys next week.